Okay, today's daf is Yuma daf Yud Dalid. We left off on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are toward the bottom of the page in Yud Gimel Amud Beis, but we're going to start again from Tanur Rabbanan. We're going to discuss the Kohen Gadol before the Mishnah. The first thing we're going to discuss today is when the Kohen Gadol is an Onain, and we're going to try to figure out, we left off yesterday trying to figure out what Rabbi Yehuda was trying to say when he just said the words, Kol Hayom. What does that mean? Kol Hayom. And then in the Mishnah, in Yedalat Amar Aleph, we're going to talk about how the Kohen Gadol would do various avodos through the 7 days that he was preparing for Yom Kippur. And throughout the rest of the year, he could do whatever he wanted to do because he was the Kohen Gadol, he was Makrav Barosh, he was Notel Chelek Barosh. Then the Gemara is going to identify whether our Mishnah could be in agreement with Rabbi Akiva's unique opinion about who becomes Tameh in the Parah Aduma process. And at first the Gemara is going to say our Mishnah must be against Rabbi Akiva. On top of Amud Beis, it's going to say no, maybe our Mishnah will be like Rabbi Akiva. In that process, we're going to uncover the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim about what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said Amarti Echba V'hiru Chalka Mimeni. Which element of Parah Aduma is so strange, is so difficult for even Shlomo HaMelech to understand, and is such a great chiddush. It's also going to discuss when the Torah says that the Maze Mehanida, the one who was Maze, who sprinkles the Paraduma waters, has to be Mechabes Begadim. Who is that actually referring to? Is that actually the person who sprinkles it, or maybe somebody else? On Amud Beis, we're going to have a stira between a Mishnah in Yuma and a Mishnah Maseches Tamid in terms of the Seder HaDvarim. What happened first? Cleaning out the Neros for the menorah or doing the Ketorah? So there's a stira between our Mishnah and a Mishnah Maseches Tamid, and then halfway down the page, we're going to have a stira between two Mishnayos and Maseches Yuma itself, and we're going to try to answer that stira in terms of how things worked in the Beis HaMikdash, what the actual Seder was. So let's pick up from Tanur Rabbanan. Five lines from the bottom of the page, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa as follows. Kohen Gadol makrav onein ve'eino ochel. Kohen Gadol could be makrav when he's in onein, but he cannot eat when he's in onein, because the special gzeres hakasav, the special drasha that we have that allows him to do the avoda, only allows that much. It only allows doing the avoda, but kachim, eating kachim, is aser for any onein, even for a Kohen Gadol. As we mentioned yesterday, if meiser is aser for an onein, which is explicit in the Torah, lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, if mimenu is part of the vidur meisros, so if meiser is aser in the Torah, so certainly kal v'chomer, it's going to be aser for an onein to eat kachim, which has a higher level of kedusha, requires a higher level of simcha than eating meiser. So he's eino ochel. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol hayom. Rabbi Yehuda says all day. So the question is, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean by all day? My kol hayom. What does that mean? So first possibility, amarava lo nitzrucha elo lahavio mitoch beso. So Rava says, it's telling us, as Rashi points out, mitzvahu sheviu lemigdash lavod kol hayom kedei lefakech tzaro, that if he's an onen and he's sitting at home and he's acting all depressed and he's not moving, he's just staying at home, we should go to his house and go get him in order to get him involved in the avoda so that it will ease his tzar. So when Rabbi Yehuda says kol hayom, he says not only is an onen, a kohen gadol is an onen allowed to be makriv, a kohen gadol is an onen should be schlepped to the Beis HaMikdash in order to be makriv. We should make sure that he's involved. That's what kol hayom means. Amle Abayis, Abayis says, well, hashle Rabbi Yehuda afuke mafkinan lei, detanya ha'yomir u'makrav al gabi ha'mizbeach, v'shama shemes lo meis, maniach avodasa v'yotzei div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi Amar Yigmar, v'atam rasin le misoch beso. He says, I don't understand. Normally, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who wants to make an onein stop doing any sort of avoda. Typically, we have a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If a person is doing the avoda and then he finds out that meis lo meis, that he has become an onein, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that have him put everything down and leave. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says maniach avodaso v'yotzei. So he's not so excited about having an onein continue to do the avoda. Rabbi Yossi is the one that says at least let him finish what he had started. But if Rabbi Yehuda holds that a kohen, and the way Rashi understands this, as we'll see in a second, the way Rashi understands this is that this machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi that we're referring to is about a kohen hedyot. When a kohen hedyot, a regular kohen, discovers that he's an onen, so Rabbi Yehuda says get him out of there quickly. So how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda typically wants an onen out of there, doesn't want the onen doing the avoda, and now comes Yom HaKippurim and it's the kohen gadol, and all of a sudden Rabbi Yehuda wants him doing the avoda, and we should even schlep him in mitoch peso? That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying when he says kol hayom. It seems a little bit strange that he would say that. Now, as I said, that's Rashi. If you look at Tosfos hayom and makar v'shamish meis lemeis, Rashi pirish b'kohen hedyot ayri v'dochak atzma lefarish lefize, and therefore it's a bit dochak to explain the Gemara. Meaning, what's so dochak? If you say like Rashi, the dochak part is that there, if it's talking about Kohen Hedyot, what's the connection to Kohen Gadol? Meaning we're talking about a halacha in Kohen Gadol over here. So how are you proving anything from Kohen Hedyot? So it says, Tosos Belinira to be Kohen Gadol Ayri, that this is actually talking about a Kohen Gadol. The Afal gav the Kohen Gadol makrevonein hani milim idar reisa av midrabanan srila the rabbi domeniach avod v'yotzei. And this is therefore a much stronger question, that even though yes, a Kohen Gadol is allowed to be makrevonein on a dar reisa level, but we find that Rabbi Yehuda says get him out of there. Midrabanan, we don't want him there. So it's impossible that the same Rabbi Yehuda who says to get him out of there, that midrabanan, we don't want him there, is going to say we should bring him to the Beis HaMikdash. Of course we wouldn't bring him to the Beis HaMikdash. Adrabba, we would get him away from the Beis HaMikdash as much as possible. So that is the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, just in simple pshat in how to understand our Gemara. The Rambam in the second parak of Hilchos Beis HaMikdash writes that a Kohen Hedyot who's Meis Lameis is Eino Yotze Min HaMikdash, but he's Eino Oved, but a Kohen Gadol is even Oved Kishu Onein, because it says Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzev Lo Yichalel. So we see that he should sit and do the avoda that he was osek in until he's done with that, but that's it. Because Mishnah's Mizdaik from the Rambam, the Kohen Gadol could only continue the avoda that he had already begun before that, but he's not allowed to begin a new avoda when he's an onein. So he says the Rambam must have learned like Tosos that the Brisa is talking about a Kohen Gadol, and he passes like Rabbi Yossi, meaning he just doesn't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Miniach Avod V'yotzi. Rabbi Yossi says Yigmar. The way the Rambam reads Yigmar is Yigmar that particular avoda that you're in the middle of, and we're talking about the Kohen Gadol, like Tosos says it's talking about, but don't start a new avoda after that. So that's how the Rambam seems to come down on this issue. But either way, the Gemara has some sort of question. How could you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds Kol Hayom means that you should be that we should actually bring him from home in order to do the avoda? That seems like something Rabbi Yehuda would not be at all interested in doing. Ella Amar Rava, so rather Rava says no. My Kol Hayom, you know what Kol Hayom means? Lomar she'eno oved kol hayom gzeira shema yochal. It's to tell me that he should not be oved kol hayom until nighttime, because we're afraid that if he's going to be oved, he's also going to be ochel. There's an iser midal raisa for a kohen to be ochel, for a kohen to eat kachim, like we mentioned. It's learned from a kal v'chomer from the iser to eat meiser. So there's an iser dal raisa for the kohen to eat kachim. We're afraid if we let him do the avoda, he's going to come to eat the kachim as well. That's what we're worried about. Gzeira shema yochal. The Magen Avraham explains the chamur choshesh, because if we allow him to do the avoda, he might think that it's mutter for him to eat as well, and that's why he's going to eat kachim. I mean, it's going to be a cognitive process. It's not going to be that he's just going to forget and accidentally eat it. No, he's going to think that that's the halacha. He's going to think that any normal laws of aninus don't apply to him. The Rashash says no. The chamur choshesh that if he's over migdash, that because he's tarud b'tzaro, he's going to forget the iser achila, and he's just going to eat. It's not that he's going to come to a halachic conclusion. He's just going to forget that there ever was an iser achila. The Ritva over here points out that he's eino ovid kol hayom because the chum have the ability to be mevater, to be mevatel dvar Torah b'shevi al tasa, meaning midal raisa, he's supposed to be ovid. So how can we tell them not to be ovid? So it must be that midal raisa yes, he should be Oved, but the Chachamim have the right to make a Gzeira that goes against Divrei Torah. So in the Hagos of Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, in the back of the Gemara, he says, well, that's against the Taz. There is a Taz that appears in three places in Shulchan Aruch, I think most notably in Yerodei and some Kuf Yud Zayin. I think it appears in Hilchos Shofar as well, where the Taz develops a Yisod that there are limits to what the Chachamim are allowed to be Gozer. The Chachamim are allowed to be Gozer, certainly not, they're not allowed to be Gozer B'kumvaseh, to go against the Torah, but even B'shevi Altaseh, even to passively violate something that it says in the Torah, the Rabbanon are only allowed to make such a Gezeira when it's against a Dinda Oraisa that is not explicit in the Torah. But if there is a Dinda Oraisa that is explicit in the Torah, so the Chachamim lack the power to make a Gezeira to Rabbanon to tell you not to do that, to tell you even B'shevi Altaseh, against that which is explicit in the Torah. Prima Gadim has this the discussion of this Taz in his Psicha Kalelas. The Prima Gadim in the Psicha Kalelas goes through all of the different layers and levels of Yisurim Daraisa and Yisurim Drabanan. It's not just that there are Yisurim Daraisa that's Safit Daraisa L'Chumri, Yisurim Drabanan, Safit Drabanan L'Kula, but all Yisurim Daraisa are the same and all Yisurim Drabanan are the same. No, there are many levels of Yisurim Daraisa and levels of Yisurim Drabanan. For instance, an Yisur Drabanan that has an Asmach is a higher level Isser Drabanan, a stronger Isser Drabanan than an Isser Drabanan that doesn't have an Asmachta, that the fact that Chazal wanted to associate it with a Pasuk tells you that they held of that Drabanan a little more strongly. So with Daraisas as well, based on this Taz, he says that an Isser Daraisa that is Mefurish Bikra is stronger than an Isser Daraisa that's not Mefurish Bikra, that's only learnt out from the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatara and Nidrashus Pen. But over here it seems that if the Ritva say that the Chacham had the koch to be mevatel dvar Torah, so it's a little bit difficult for this Taz, because the Taz says no they don't, not when it's mefurish in the Torah, and the fact that Kohen Gadol is makravonin is mefurish in the Torah. So the Pischei Tshuva in Yerodea on the spot points out that not everybody agrees with that Taz. The Chavis Yair and other Achronim, that Taz became very well known, it became a very popular Taz, but it does not necessarily mean that it's a muskam lakal, that everyone necessarily agrees with the Taz. So interesting, in Rav Zilberstein, in the Chashukei Chemer, he was asked he raises the following question. In the Tshuva Shavus Yaakov, says that if a person needs to feed chametz to a sick baby on Pesach, that the baby needs to have chametz for its health, so lo ya'achilu kashu yuchidi, don't do it alone, because we're afraid that while you're feeding the baby, you might take a taste yourself, and you might eat the chametz yourself on Pesach. What about in Yom Kippur? Do we say the same thing, that when you're feeding children on Yom Kippur, because children need to eat, they can't fast, so you're feeding children on Yom Kippur, do you need a shomer? Should we say the same halacha? You shouldn't do it yichidi, you shouldn't do it alone? And even if we say that normally we're not choshesh, you're going to come to eat, what about when you're feeding a chola in a hospital, when everybody is eating there? And the whole avira is not an avira of fasting, because the whole place is eating. Everyone is sick, so everyone's eating. Do we have a chashash then? Do you need a shomer then, when feeding cholim in a hospital in Yom Kippurim? So he points out that Trumas Hadesh in the Simur Kuf Mem Zayin writes that a gadol is allowed to be machil katanim on Yom Kippurim directly, even though normally the Gemara in Maseches Yevamos has a drasha los achilim that you're not allowed to feed isurim d'oraisa to a katan of any age, even before the age of chinuch. One is not allowed to feed isurim d'oraisa to a katan, perhaps even isurim d'rabanan to machlokes rishonim. But on Yom Kippur, you're allowed to give food directly to a katan, and even though he says echad me'agadolim says in the name of a certain gon that you should be very careful that to set up the food for the children, that they should be able to take it on their own, so that you won't have to touch the food on Yom Kippurim and actually extend your hand to them. Because Achilas Yom Kippurim is kares and lo bedile mine, people aren't used to not eating, so there is a reason to be gozer, just like by chametz, that you might come to eat from it. So he says, yes, I'm aware that there is such a sheet out there, says the Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin says, I don't think you need to be machmir about that. Minak pashut is not to be nizar in this, and he says not at all similar to chametz. The difference between this and chametz is, he says, based on what I found in the Marach or Zeruah, that someone who's fasting is allowed to deal with food, and it's not. We don't say l'chal l'cham rinan l'nazir schar schar l'kamer l'sikrav, that just like we tell the nazir, stay away from a vineyard, just stay away from any chance of eating, because by nazir it's mutter. to eat all different types of foods and drinks except for wine, except for Geffen. So Rechoshesh, he's going to forget. But someone who's fasting is not eating anything, so he's not going to come to forget that he's not supposed to eat. He realizes why he's hungry. So that's so the same svari, you could say, to be mechalik between chametz and Yom Kippur. A person might forget that there's nisr chametz because he's eating in general, but on Yom Kippur he's not eating anything. So the Pri Chadash points out, he says, Mikol makom nearly ikur kamo shechilek harav Chumas Hadeshen. He says, I think the Chumas Hadeshen's chilek is correct, and the raya ledavar is Yuma daf yudalid. Why? Because the Gemara says Kohen Gadol eino ovid kol yom gzeira, he might come to eat. So so the Gemara is going to ask, I'm jumping a little ahead over here. The Gemara is going to ask, I should not have said it. Well, let's see the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravad Barava L'Rava Umi Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Shemi Yochal." Is Rabbi Yehuda really worried that you might come to eat? Vatanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Isha Acheres Maskinin Lo. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that we even prepare a backup wife for him? Shema Tomos Ishto, lest his wife die. The Imaisa Ishto Avir Avoda. That means if his wife dies, he does the avoda, and apparently we're not gozer that he might come to eat. So apparently he's doing the avoda, and we're not afraid that he's going to come to eat, even though he's an onen. So amalei hachi ashta hasam kiven diyom akipurim hu dekulei alma lo kaachli. Says, no, there's a big difference. On Yom HaKippurim, nobody's eating. So the Kohen Gadol won't eat either, because it's Yom Kippur. Nobody else is eating. But on Stamaday, where a Kohen Gadol's doing the Avodah, so if he's an Onain, we are worried that he might come to eat, because everybody else in the world is eating. So says the Pri Chadash, based on that the Chumash Sedeshan's Chilik is correct. That you see that on Yom Kippur, where nobody else is eating, he's not going to come to eat. Whereas over here, whereas on a regular day, everybody else is eating, he'll come to eat as well. So you see that on a fast day, since nobody else is eating, we're not gozer, shemi yochal. You don't have to worry that a person is going to come to eat. So that's the Pri Chadash Raya, that the Chumash Sedeshan is correct. Says the Gemara, V'chia gavna michayla alei aninus v'amigrasha. Wait a second. On Yom Kippur, if the Kohen Gadol's wife dies, we had a whole discussion yesterday about how he makes sure that he has one wife and not two wives. So if his wife dies, he had already given her a get al tanai. So if his wife dies, it's already, 2 days ago we had the discussion, it was yesterday. So if his wife dies, he's not married to her. So it turns out that he was divorced from her the entire time. And therefore he's not an onain. So says the Gemara, Nihida aninus lo chayelalei atrudu milo matridi. Granted, he's not technically an onen, but don't you think he's tarud? Meaning the fact that he's tarud alone, as Rashi says, ubekachim biinan simcha ugedula. For achilas kachim, it's not just that being technically an onen makes someone ineligible for achilas kachim. Someone who's extremely sad, someone who's very tarud, who's very preoccupied and is sad, cannot do achilas kachim, because kachim requires simcha, requires gedula. So therefore, it was his wife. His whole life, he's been married to the woman for 40 years. He gave her a get al tanai because there's a technicality that the halacha is that you have to make sure that you have one wife on Yom Kippur, not two. So they prepared a backup wife, and he went through the process. So his wife dies, you don't think he's going to mourn for her when his wife dies, that he's going to be saddened by the fact that his wife, that the woman he had been married to for all those years died? Of course he's going to be, and therefore he is he still has the din of an onain in the sense that he's not allowed to eat kachim, which is fascinating. That the din of an onain is not based on a technicality of it's not based on did your relative die? Meaning, what about the flip side? What about someone who had no relationship whatsoever? An adopted child, never even knew his biological parents. And then he discovers one day who they are, never even met them, and discovers that the biological parent died. So does he not become an onen because he never even knew them? There's no sense of aninus, there's no sense of loss. He had no connection to them. I think we do assume that he becomes an onen. He's got to sit shiva even, he's got to be misabel also. So the aninus and avelus l'chora, we normally assume not like this, but when it comes to achilas kachim is not a technical din in aninus, it's a din in simcha. That's how Rashi is suggesting. They had Nebuch, Shai was like this in the Holocaust. Rav Zilberstein points out there was that when the Germans came into Poland, a guy saw that that he doesn't know what the future is going to be, and who knows, maybe one of them will survive and the other one is going to be missing and they're not going to have any evidence. So a guy decided, the man and wife decided he's going to give his wife a get, so that in case they can't find each other after the war, she shouldn't be in Aguna. So he gave his wife a get, and then he found out like a day later or 2 days after he gave his wife a get, his wife was killed by the Nazis. So he wants to know, does he put on tefillin that day? And Onen doesn't Avelus Yom Rishon also, you know, put on tefillin, does he say Kriya Shema? Does he have dinim of aninus? So Rav Zilberstein makes the tushla. Maybe that this is comparable to our discussion over here. The Shulchan Aruch says ishto grusha lo onema. The Shulchan Aruch says when you divorce your wife, so then one is not he does not observe aninus for her, and he's also in a masabala. So he's not mechalik between different types of gerushin. But our sugya seems to suggest otherwise. Now the Mishnah Lamelech is not sure whether the Isra Vachila of a Kohen Gadol who is Tarud is Nisa Daraisa or Nisa Drabana. I mean, a Kohen Gadol is an Onein, that's Nisa Daraisa, he's not allowed to eat Kachim, because that we learn from a Kalvachomer, from Meiser. What about for the Kohen Gadol's Tarud, meaning the Maskana Sagamar, it's not about being an Onein, it's about being Tarud. Is that a Nisa Achila Daraisa or Nisa Achila Drabana? Mishnah Lamelech is not sure. He's not sure if it's a different Nisa. In Tosfos Yeshanim over here, he raises the question on Rashi. He says, wait a second, let's say a guy has a bad investment, he loses a lot of money, so he's very distraught by it, so he's not going to be allowed to eat kachim. Is there really such a din that someone who's sad, someone who's upset by something, is not allowed to eat kachim? So the Ritva defends Rashi, and the Ritva writes, "Demitzar bialma eino asr b'kachim, aval zeh shatzar bolo machmas misas she'eiro shahisa kvar." Kivan shalibo dava aleha sharei machmas atzorech girsha shapir karinu be'aninus. The Ritva sort of goes somewhere in between. He says it's not real aninus, but it's not aninus. It's someone he was close with for many years, so there is a miktsas aninus. You have this idea the Rishonim sometimes talk about that even by a grusha, there's a Yerushalmi that the Ritva quotes, that even by a grusha, that there's some she'er, there's some sort of relationship still because they were once married. And maybe even for the Rama writes in Ibn Ezer that a person could give mazonos legrusha, so when he has a mitzvah to support his grusha more than he does shar ani, more than he does any other poor person, even if he's not legally obligated to. So the mitzvah tzedakah, she would take precedence over another ani. So you have like this. There's a connection there, even after gerushin. So that's what the Ritva says. It's somewhere in between. Very, very difficult thing to be magdir. Yeah.
Really, more as using hatircha as a chumra, right? Say by the Holocaust case that somebody would not put on tefillin, that would be a kula as a function of tircha.
Right, but I mean, over here we're letting him not do the avoda, meaning
that he can't do it.
Okay, so you say difference between chumra and kula. Okay, could be, yeah. So let's see. So says the Mishnah now. Kol shivas hayamim hu zorek es hadam umaktir saktores umetiv es haneros umakriv es harosh ves haregel. Throughout all 7 days of these 7 days before Yom Kippurim, when we have the Kohen Gadol preparing, he's the one that does the zrikas hadam. He's the one that's makriv the ktores. He's the one that cleans out the neros of the menorah. He's makriv the rosh and the regel of the carbon tamid. He's the one that does everything. The zrik of dam that we refer to is also the carbon tamid. And Rashi explains kadesh iragilu mazuman ba'avodas Yom Kippurim, so that he could be used to the avodas, so that when Yom Kippur comes, it's all going to come very naturally to him. Now, obviously, Yom Kippur avodah is much more complex, and there are a lot more things to do. But at least let him get the easy stuff. Let him be used to avodah, and let him be in the mode of doing things in the Beis Hamikdash. Now there is a discussion in Poskim. This Mishnah comes up in the discussion in Poskim whether you're allowed to take certain things in advance of Yom Kippur that are going to make your fast easier. You know, they have these tzom kal pills or all these different types of caffeine pills or whatever it might be that will allow a person to have an easier fast. The Stechemet discusses this, and he says that he quotes from a Gon Menachem Nassen Auerbach Zatzal that it's against the pasuk. Pasuk says Kol Nefesh Shaloseana, that the Inyan is an Inyan of Inui on Yom Kippur. It's not just Nisra Achila. There's supposed to be an Inui on Yom Kippur. Rashi in Shabbos Kuftes Vav Amiralov says Nekivas Yarek is Chutz Rabbi Yom Kippurim to cause Agmas Nefesh. What do you mean? mean? We want to cause agmas nefesh? Yeah, there's a mitzvah of inui, so we definitely want to cause agmas nefesh. So you're not supposed to do things that will make it easier. However, the one of the makaros on the other side of this debate is the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos over here, where the Rambam writes, when it says, kol shavas yam hu zorikas adam, so the Rambam goes a step further than Rashi, not just to get him used to it. Says the Rambam, hayamar galatzma v'avodah kol elu shavas yamim, kedei shetei nochal of yom tzom kippur. In order that Yom Kippur will be a little easier, the fast day should go a little more easily for him, that he's not going to have to work as hard because he'll be more used to it, it'll come as second nature to him, so that will make fasting a lot easier for him. So the pashtus of the Rambam is that that's okay, that we want to do whatever we can, that the tzom should not be difficult for him. So he's magdil himself in doing the avoda. It's also, it could be that the Rambam is magdir the tzom of Yom Kippur very differently. What does the Rambam call Hilchos Yom HaKippurim? Hilchos Shvisas Aser. The Rambam seems to assume that the whole din is a din in Shvisa. The Rambam writes in the very first halacha, Hilchos Shvisas Aser, mitzvah to say, Lishvos Mimalacha, Va'asalachodesh Hashvi, Shnemer Shabbos, Shabbason Hulachem. And then he says, mitzvah to say, Acheres Yesh B'Yom HaKippurim, Vihi Lishvos Bo Me'achil V'Shtia, Shnemer Tanus Nafshal Seichem. Where the Rambam's magdi the din, it's not a din in Inui, it's a din in Shvisa, that it's Shvisa from Achila, that it's just something that we rest from, we don't need achila on this day. But it's not a din in making oneself suffer, in punishing oneself. Adarabba, we find the halacha is that one is supposed to eat, there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. So it's Machlok Rishonim, why we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim. But some Rishonim suggest that the reason we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom HaKippurim is so that our fast will go more easily on Yom Kippur, so that we'll be able to fast more easily. That's part of what we're supposed to do. I think that's the way most poskim assume, that all of these things are mutter, to prepare yourself in advance to be able to fast more easily on Yom Kippur. So anyway, so the Kohen Gadol does all of these things throughout the course of that week. What about the rest of the year? The rest of the year, if he wants to, so he's more than welcome to. He can always be makriv whenever he wants. He can choose to take the avoda. The Kohen Gadol is makriv brosh, and he's notel chelik brosh. Any portion of kachim that he wants to eat, when they divide up the achilas kachim, the Kohen Gadol has that right to do that, to take it. So says Marman Tana, who's the author of our Mishnah, Amra Chisa Delok Rabbi Akiva. Whoever holds that the Kohen Gadol is doing the avodas of the Tamid every single day must be against Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva would hold that the Kohen Gadol is not eligible to do the avodas throughout that week, since he is going to be Tamei that entire week. How is he going to be Tamei that entire week? Di Rabbi Akiva Ha'amar Tar Shenafalav Hazah Timato, because Rabbi Akiva holds anyone who's had the ashes and the water of Paraduma sprinkled on him becomes Tamei for that day. Now, one of the things we do with the Kohen Gadol throughout the course of that week is we sprinkle him each and every day with the ashes of the Paraduma. So Mimele is going to be Tameh. If he's Tameh, he's not going to be able to do the Avoda. He's not going to be able to bring the Karmat Tamid. Hechi Avod Avoda. How could he possibly do the Avoda? He's Tameh. Ditanya, where do we find this drasha, this idea that Rabbi Akiva says that anybody who gets sprinkled becomes Tameh? Ditanya, meaning anyone, not anybody. If a Tameh person gets sprinkled, someone who's Tameh Mace gets sprinkled, obviously he becomes Tahar. But anyone who is Tahar, who was otherwise Tahar, that then gets sprinkled with the ashes of Paraduma becomes Tameh. Not Tumas Mace, Tumas Erev, just Tameh for the rest of that day. But still, he's not allowed to do the Avoda. So the Tanya, because we have a Braisa, Vihiza HaTahar Al HaTameh, that the Tahar is Maza on the Tameh. So we darshan Al HaTameh Tahar, Val HaTahar Tameh, Div Rabbi Akiva. That if you're Maza on a Tameh person, he becomes Tahar, but you're Maza on a Tahar person, he becomes Tameh. The Chambam Lacham say, no, ain't a Dvar Malalu Amurin Ela B'Dvar Mekablim Tuma. That this drasha is not, this Al HaTameh is here to teach a different drasha, to tell me that Hazaa only counts as a Hazaa when it's done on something that's Mekabal Tuma. When you sprinkle the ashes of the Paraduma on something that's not Mekabal Tuma, it does not have a shame Hazaa. Who cares whether you call it a Hazaa, you don't call it a Hazaa, if you sprinkle it on something that doesn't need it, so it didn't do anything. So why do you care whether you call it Hazaa or not? So the Nafkamina is going to be the water that's still on the Azov, on the hyssop branch that you use to sprinkle. So if you've already sprinkled a sprinkling of a pustle of sprinkling with that water on the hyssop branch, you would need to re-dip in order to sprinkle again. But if you didn't already sprinkle a pasul of sprinkling, if it was it had a shem hazah, it was a kasher sprinkle, it counts as sprinkling, then you wouldn't need to re-dip it. So that's the nafkamina whether it's called a sprinkling or not. But the Rabbanan say that's all the pasuk is teaching me. It's not teaching me that when a tar person gets sprinkled, he becomes tamei. Not true. He doesn't become tamei. So mahi, where do we have this discussion? So if a person intended to be maza on a behema, so he lacked the kavana to do a proper azah, because you would never need to do azah on a behema. That's just ridiculous. But he hits a person. He actually gets it onto a person. So miyesh peiz of yishana. If there's still more water on the ezov, he could just repeat. He could just do it again. Niskavin lahazos ala adam viza ala behema. But if he wanted to be mazan an adam and he accidentally was mazan a behema, so that's something that's not mekabel tuma. Behema doesn't become tame. So he was mazan something that's not mekabel tuma. That's not called the azah at all. And therefore miyesh peiz of, if there's more water on the ezov, lo yishana. He should not just repeat it, because that water became pasul, because he did the hazah psula. He did it on a behema, and that ruins it. So my time is Rabbi Akiva. Where does Rabbi Akiva get his idea that whenever you sprinkle on a Torah person, he becomes tamei? Nichlav Rachman of Yizah Torah Alav. My al hatame. The pasuk should have just said, we know who we're talking about. We're talking about a guy who's tamei meis. So it should say, the Torah person should take the parah aduma waters and sprinkle it on him. Why does it have to say al hatame? So shemamina al hatame tar vel tar tame. It must be for that drasha that when you sprinkle it on a tamei person, he becomes tar. When you sprinkle it on a Torah person, he becomes tamei. V'rabbanan ha'ilid var makam tamehudas. And the Rabbanan, like we said, no, use that al hatame to teach me that sprinkling is only called sprinkling when it lands on something that could be mekabel tuma. But when it lands on something that could not be mekabel tuma, like a behema, for instance, it's not a sprinkling, it's a hazab psula, and therefore will ruin whatever water is still left in that ezov, so you're going to need to re-dip. But the Rabbanan say, after all, Rabbi Kiva's din is totally illogical. If these waters have the power to be metahir, somebody who's tamei, so then for sure you see that they have tara character to it. They're not going to be metame somebody who's tar. It's not going to ruin somebody who's tar. That would be ridiculous. That would mean para aduma. Makes no sense. Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva would say, exactly. Para aduma is not supposed to make sense. Para aduma, Shlomo Melech himself says, that I thought I would be so wise, but it is beyond me. The Rabbanan say, no. I agree that there are parts of Parah Aduma that don't make sense, but it's something else that Shlomo Melech was referring to. Which part was Shlomo Melech referring to? Rabbana hu lemazeh ulemazna lav tahar v'nogeah behen tameh. He was referring to the fact that the guy who does the sprinkling and the guy who gets sprinkled is tar, but someone who touches it becomes tameh. Someone who touches the afer part becomes tameh. So says more. Wait, the guy who does the sprinkling is tahar. Isn't that a pasuk that the guy who does the sprinkling is tameh? Umaze tahar v'aksiv umaze me'anida yichabis begadav. The guy who does the sprinkling needs kibus begadav. Not only is he tameh, his clothing becomes tameh from doing the sprinkling. So my mazeh nogeya, says the Gemara. The Rabbanan say, no, you know what it means when the pasuk says that the guy who's mazeh becomes tameh? It means the guy who touches it becomes tameh. But a mazeh does not become tameh. The guy sprinkling it does not. I vaksiv mazeh vaksiv nogeya. But the pasuk refers both to the mazeh and the nogeya. The pasuk says, vayilam l'chuk asalam umazeh mehanida yichabis begadav. And then the very next words are, venogeya b'mehanida yitmara erev. So don't tell me that the word mazeh means nogeya. The second half of the pasuk talks about nogeya. Va'od mazeh boy kibus begadav, nogeya lo boy kibus begadav. Plus, they even have different halach. The mazet says that he's chavis begadim. The nogeya just says that he's tamei tumas erev. Doesn't say anything about kibus begadim. So don't tell me that the word mazet means nogeya. They don't even have the same halacha. Elamai mazet, no say. No, you know what mazet means, says the Rabbanan? It's not referring to the guy sprinkling. The guy sprinkling the efer para, the mei para, is tahar. It's referring to someone who carries the mei para. Someone who's nose, who carries it, even if he doesn't touch it, he just carries it in a kli, is going to be tamei. So says Gemara, well, if that's what the pasuk meant when it said that the mazah has to be mechabes, well, if it doesn't mean the sprinkler, it means someone who carries it, v'nichtav rachmana nose. Why doesn't the Torah just tell me that? There's a perfectly good word in Hebrew to describe someone who's carrying it. Why would the Torah use the word mazah and confuse everybody? My time exiv mazah. So how come Ashmalan? To be on sheer hazah. The reason the Torah uses the term hazah is to teach me that yes, it's only if you carry it that you become tameh, but how much do you have to carry in order to become tameh? Enough mepara that would be enough to sprinkle on somebody. The amount that's needed to do the sprinkling. Says the Gemara, that's a beautiful drasha if you hold that there exists such a thing called a shir hazah, that there is some minimum amount that needs to get sprinkled in order for it to work. So then it's great, your answer is wonderful. But if you hold that there is no minimum amount that needs to get sprinkled, so then why does the Torah phrase it as mazah if we're really referring to a nose? So the Gemara says there's always a shir. Even the shita that holds that there's no minimum amount of mei para that actually needs to get sprinkled onto the person, that's in terms of the amount that has to hit the person, that has to get on the person. But in order to do azah, you need to start with a certain amount of mei para in the kli that you're sprinkling from. So that always requires a shir. You can't have just a mashahu of mei para in the kli. You have to have some sort of minimum shir. How much? What is that shear that you need in the kli in order for the azah to be a valid azah? So at least you could put the stems of the branches of the hyssop branch into that liquid, and enough would get absorbed that you would then be able to sprinkle it onto somebody. So that's the shear. So there's always a shear that you at least need in the kli. So bottom line, Rabbi Akiva holds that we learn from Al Hatame that the Tame person is Tahar. If you sprinkle on the Tame person, becomes Tahar. You sprinkle on the Tahar person, it makes him Tame. The Rabbanans say that's illogical that you would make him, that it would make him Tame. And we know that there's supposed to be something illogical about Paraduma, but the illogical thing about Paraduma is something else. The illogical thing about Paraduma is that the guy who does the sprinkling and the guy who gets sprinkled on is Tahar, but someone who carries it is Tame. That's the illogical part. The Torah says the guy who does the sprinkling is Tame. That Torah was not referring to the guy doing the sprinkling. It just called him the guy who does the sprinkling. It was really referring to a guy who carries it. It calls him the guy who does the sprinkling because the amount that you have to carry in order to become Tame is the amount that it would take to sprinkle on somebody. Now, Rabbi Akiva would hold that there is no such chiddush, that the mazah is tahar and the noseh is tameh. Because Rabbi Akiva would hold that the mazah is in fact tameh, like the Torah says. Torah says that the guy who does the sprinkling is tameh. The Rabbanan have this fantastic drasha that mazah doesn't mean mazah, that it really means the noseh. Rabbi Akiva l'chora wouldn't resort to that drasha. So all of this was to, how did we get into this entire conversation? Since Rabbi Akiva holds that someone who was otherwise Tahar, that gets Paraduma sprinkled on him, now becomes Tameh, he could not have been the author of our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol for all 7 days was doing the Avodah, but the Kohen Gadol for all 7 days was getting sprinkled on. So he must have been Tameh, he couldn't do the Avodah. Says the Gemara now, no, maybe he still could have. Even if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, maybe the Kohen Gadol would still be eligible. David Avodah We never say what time during the day we sprinkle the Kohen Gadol with the ashes of the Paraduma. Maybe we let him do the Avodah the whole day. At the end of the day, right before Shkia, we sprinkle him, so he becomes Tameh, but it's only Tumas Arev. He only becomes Tameh till that evening. Goes to the mikveh now, has Harav Shemesh, and then he's Tar by that evening. By the next morning, he wakes up, he's ready to do the Avodah again. So maybe he can do the Avodah the entire week, even though he's getting sprinkled throughout the week with the Efer Paraduma. The Mishnah says that the things that the Kohen Gadol does during that week include being Maktir the Ketores and cleaning out the Neros of the menorah. So Alma Ketores Bereshav Ad Neros. The clear indication that our Mishnah gives is that first comes Ketores and then comes Hatavas HaNeros. Urim Minhu, but I'll ask a stira. There's a Mishnah Maseches Tamid. Misha Zacha B'dishim Mizbeach HaPanimi U'misha Zacha B'menorah U'misha Zacha B'Ketores. It goes through, the words of the Mishnah are not these words. There are three consecutive Mishnahs that go through what the guy who does the Dishim Mizbech HaPnimi does, and then what the person who gets to do the menorah, the cleaning of the menorah, does, and then what the person who's Makdir the Ketores. And presumably the Mishnayos and Tamid are in order of how things work, so it sounds like the menorah comes before the Ketores, not after the Ketores, like in our Mishnah. So Amravuna Mantana Tamid, Rabbi Shimon Nisha Mitzvahu. Machlokas Tanaim, that the Mishnayos and Tamid were taught by Rabbi Shimon Nisha Mitzvah, so he holds that menorah comes before Ketores. But don't we learn that Rabbi Shimon Nisha Mitzvah holds the opposite? The Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Bolo l'keren mizrachus tzfonis v'nosein, that when doing the avoda, he should take the blood and go to the northeastern corner and nosein mizrachus tzfona and sprinkle the blood in one sprinkling that in a way that it will hit both the north and the eastern side on the northeastern corner. Maravis dromas, then he goes to the southwestern corner of nosein maravidroma, and he again sprinkles the blood on the southwestern corner in a way that it hits both the southern side and the western side of the mizbeach. Vitani Allah, and on that it says Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah Mishta Vitani Allah Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah Mishana Bitamin Mizrachus Tzfonis Vinasim Mizrachus Tzfona Maravis dromas nosein marava Vachak nosein droma. Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah disagrees with the Tana in Tamid. So don't tell me all the Mishnayos in Tamid are like Rabbi Shimon Nesha Mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Nesha Mitzvah holds that's not the way the blood was done. On the northeastern corner, you're right. He goes and he does one sprinkling and it hits both the north side and the eastern side. But in the southwest corner, Rabbi Shimon Nesha Mitzvah disagrees with how the Mishnah Tamid says. He says that you should sprinkle two sprinklings, one on the south side and one on the west side, not just a single sprinkling on the corner that hits both sides. So you see that Rabbi Shimon Nesha Mitzvah is not the author of the Mishnayos in Tamid. Elam Rabbi Yochanan Mantana Seder Yuma, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvahu. Okay, good. So the Mishnayos in Tamid are not Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. Our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So either way, the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Tamid about which comes first, the Neros or the Ketores, is a machlokas. Our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, and the Mishnayos in Tamid hold otherwise. So says the Gemara, great, but Varami Seder Yuma, Seder Yuma. You could find even a stira within Meseches Yuma about this issue. Ditnan, because it says in the Mishnah in Yuma, Pius Hasheni, when they draw the lots the second time to figure out who does what, they figure out mi shochet, who's going to shecht, mi zorek, who does the zrikas adam, mi medashin mizbech apnimi, who's going to clean off the inside mizbech, mi medashin es haminorah, who's going to clean out the menorah, mi male evarim lakevesh, who's going to bring the evarim of the carbon up onto the ramp. Pius Hashlishi, Chadashim L'Ketores Bo'Vefisu. But the Pius Hashlishi is for the people who have never brought Ketores. They get to participate in the third drawing of lots to determine who's going to bring the Ketores. So don't you see they're cleaning out the menorah before the Ketores? And yet in our Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, it says Makdir HaKetores and then Meitiv HaNeros. So what's going on? Which came first, the Ketores or the Neros? So by the Chadashim L'Ketores Bo, the Gemara is going to explain, is that the Ketores was a skula for Ashirus, so they wanted to share it as much as possible. They wanted to give it out as much as possible to different people, so they'd only have Chadashim. Only people who have never done it would participate. That's what the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch is based on. The Ramah in Yerodea writes that since Chazal compares serving as Sandik at a Bris to being Makdir Ketores, and we should try to spread the wealth. Shouldn't have the same person be a sandik for all the children's brisim. Should switch off, have different to spread the wealth. The Gra disagrees, but that's how the Ramah says that. So some wanted a taina. Well, there's one exception to this rule about the Ketores. Mm-hmm. The Kohen Gadol, we just said the whole week before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is makdir the Ketores. Kohen Gadol, you have someone who's in such a position of gedula. So that's what some say. Their Rosh Yeshiva is whatever yeshiva you go to, it doesn't matter. Their Rosh Yeshiva is the Gadol Adar, so he could. So he should be the sandik at every bris. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no. So says the Gemara Vayta, Amar Abaye. So Lokasha. So we have a stira Maseches Yuma. So Abaye says Lokasha. Kan va'atavish te neros, kan va'atavish chamish neros. The atavish neros wasn't done in one shot. It was split between hatavish te neros and then hatavish chamish neros. We're going to find this in the Gemara later on, the Flam and Gimel, that they would stop in the middle of that atavish neros. They would be made of chamish neros, stop, wait until they did some other avoda in between. We'll see exactly what avoda. avoda, and then be made to shtei neros. So Avishal and the Rabbanan disagree in terms of what they were mafsik with. What other avoda were they doing in between? So one shita is that it was with ketores, and one shita is that it was with the shchita satamid and the zrikas dam atamid. So when you have a stira about which came first, the neros or the ketores, it's because neros came in two parts. So the ketores comes after part of the hatavas and neros, but before the other part of hatavas and neros. Lememra de b'ketores mafsiklu. But does that mean to say that the ketores is what we did in middle of the hatavas and neros? V'abayi misad ma'aracha mishmei de gemara b'dam atamid mafsiklu. Abayi taught us that it's b'dam atamid that you mafsik, that it's not the ketores that you're mafsik with. Sami lo kasha hayil abishol hal rabbanon. That's a machlokas abishol and the rabbanon what you were mafsik with. Titania lo yitav asaneros v'achach yaktir el yaktir v'achach yitav. The yetiv, the rabbanon say you should be mak to the ketores and then be made to the neros. Abishol lomer made to v'achach maktir, that you're made to the neros and then you're maktir. My time with Abishol, where does Abishol get this idea that you're made to the neros and then maktir? Tichsiv baboker baboker beitivos haneros v'hadar yaktirena. And then it says yaktirena. Rabbanan my kamer rachmana. According to the Rabbanan, what are they going to do with the pasuk says yaktirena after that tavas haneros? Beidon hatava te maktir ketores. That at the time of the hatava it should be maktir ketores. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll go back to this discussion tomorrow. It's going to continue for a little bit. Okay.